me and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. Acts 11. I want to tell you about someone to pray for, and I know you will. D. Parks, Daniel's son. He took all the cancer treatments he could take. Then he took all the, you know, they had to stop radiation because he got so weak. And the cancer he had was so rare that they couldn't do anything in the world with it. And then it's moved into his bones, moved into his back. And his back bones are breaking. And so hospice is going to come in tomorrow and start helping him manage his pain. And he's got two kids and a wife and a mother and a dad and a sister. It's a tough thing, but you please remember them, remember his family. And then the other day, that whatever you want to call it, went into that school down in Nashville, shot three children, three adults. And the pastor of that particular church, he lost his daughter. She's 9 years old. So it's just, boy, I'm certainly thankful I know the Lord. And, you know, with Dee and Christy and Daniel and Sandy and CJ and Bob and Jeanette, you know, there are people that, they're not without hope, you know. They sorrow not as others sorrow, but they sorrow. They've shed a bucket full of tears, I'm sure. And we've got another bucket full to shed. But I do want you to remember them. I really do. Young man, 40 years old. Two teenage kids to leave behind. All right. Let me read we'll read down through verse 10, then we'll just deal with the verses as we come to them. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes upon it, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. our great God and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We look for your appearing soon, very soon. And we look with great joy, great comfort, great peace in our heart, that when you appear, shall we also appear with you. When you come, we'll go to be with you forever and eternally. And Lord, I thank you for the day. Oh, what a day. That you bless us, oh God, to get out of bed this morning, clothed in a right mind, with strength to go through the day. No complaints. Nothing that the blessings of God upon us, upon our homes, upon our lives, upon our hearts. Nothing but thankfulness. Nothing but blessing. Nothing but praise. And I bless you for it. And Lord, we've gathered out here tonight, as I always say, we've gathered to worship, to hear from your precious word, and pray the Holy Ghost would be in our midst. And we pray for those who are not with us through the weakness of their own body, through the frailty. And God bless them, encourage them, comfort them. Fran and Rick and Helen and others that I might not know about. But Lord, we especially pray tonight for Brother D and his wife, mother and daddy, children. Her mother and daddy, brother. Lord, I know that they trying their best to be strong. And we know that your grace is sufficient. We know that you'll uphold them. We know that you'll see them through this. When you said in your word, Lord, when we go through the fire, it wouldn't burn us. Went through the river, not overflow us. And went through the water. But, oh, Lord Jesus, you said, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trials. And they're in deep water. They're in the fire. So, Lord, bless them. Put a hedge about them. Meet the needs of their home, their heart. Strengthen poor Dee in his body. Bless his wife's heart and his kids. Oh, Lord, we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first this grace has brought me safe, thus bless his name, and grace will lead me home. 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise. Okay, well, been a long time since I've done all the singing and the preaching. Bruce Crabtree has to do that every service. They don't have a song, Lydia has to lead the singing and then do the preaching. But that's a blessing tonight to be able to do that. Sorry you're late, that enabled me to practice. All right, look with me back here in Acts 11. My subject tonight is contentions over the gospel. Contentions over the gospel. You know, those of us that know the gospel, it's not ashamed of the gospel. It's precious to us. It's powerful to us. And I tell you what, it's a blessing to know the gospel. To know that it's the power of God. To know that it's nothing ever to be ashamed of, to be ashamed of the grace of God, to be ashamed of the cross of Christ, to be ashamed of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be ashamed of being a sinner needing saved by the gospel, by the power of God. But Peter here is confronted by the Jews for going to preach to Gentiles, going into their house. You remember what he said in verse 28 of chapter 10 when he went to Cornelius' house. He said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, for God has showed me that I should not call any man unclean, common or unclean. And so they contend with him for having fellowship with the Gentiles. That was an unheard of thing for Jews to have anything to do with anybody other than a Jew. Other than a Jew. This was something new to them. And anything new to them was suspicious. New to the Jews. In verse 1 it says this, and the apostles and brethren, I want you to notice who they were, apostles. Who were the apostles? James and John, Matthew, Thaddeus, Thomas. They were up in Jerusalem. The apostles were at Jerusalem. And the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. What a blessed thing. What a blessed thing. You know, they find fault with it, but what a blessed thing. It says that they also received the word of God. What a blessed thing. What a glorious thing. What a blessed thing to receive the word of God. A thing to rejoice over. Receive the word of God. What a blessing that is. And these folks are finding fault with it. They're upset about it. And you know, as some fellows come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said to him, said, Master, said, there's a man that was married, and he died, and his brother had a wife, and he died, and his brother had a wife, and it went on to 7 times. And he said, which one of them's going to be married in the resurrection? These are Sadducees, didn't even believe in a resurrection. Our Lord said this. You know what he told them? Ye do err. Neither knowing the scriptures or the power of God. If you don't, that's what he said. You all don't know a thing in the world about the word. And you certainly don't know nothing about the power of God and what God's got the power to do. But oh, they, what a glorious thing to receive. And here these fellows, and then it says, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, remember he was in Joppa. He'd been to Cornelius' house. He preached there, and now he's going back to Jerusalem. And then it says, when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. When you see that circumcision, you're talking about people that's in the covenant of Abraham. You're talking about Jews. And this is their standing. This is their ceremony. This is their ritual. This is the token of them being in the covenant. And here the Jewish, and it says the brethren here. But it's just unimaginable for them to have a fellowship with Christians, people that are called believers. Anybody other than a Jew, it's impossible for them to have any idea of having any fellowship with them. But here's the thing about it. They contended with him. Now, there's not going to be two churches. There ain't never been two churches. There ain't a church for the Jew and there ain't a church for the Gentile. There's this one church. And Christ is head over that church. And I tell you, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, all have been do what? Drank into one spirit, into one body, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that right? And that's what he's trying to tell them here. And so they're contending with him. You see, these Jews are going to have to do just like a Gentile. They're going to have to come to faith alone. They're going to have to leave off the ceremonies, the rituals. The circumcision, they're going to have to leave off their feast days. They're going to have to leave off all their ceremonies. They're going to have to leave off all their law keeping. Got to leave it all gone. Huh? And then they've got to be brought to where they trust in Christ alone. Not anything they ever said or done or believed before they come to Christ. Paul was a Jew. And he said, I count everything but dung when I found Christ. When Christ found me. And oh my. And then they've got to be brought to faith alone in Christ alone. And I'll tell you, not two churches. No, no. Well, how in the world did Peter answer these fellows? They're contending, they're arguing. What did he say to them? You say, well, y'all are a bunch of fools. You don't know nothing. You reckon he said that to them? Did he reckon he told them, said, listen, mind your own business? Or he said, I'm an apostle. Don't dare question me. I'm an apostle. No, here's what he actually answered them. First off, he says this. First thing he said, they said, thou wentest in unto men uncircumcised and did eat with them. That's what they were contentious about. That. But Peter rehearsed the matter. Now listen to this. Peter rehearsed the matter from the very beginning. Everything that actually happened when God spoke to him, saw this vision, until he went over to Cornelius' house, he rehearsed it from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. He expounded this exactly to the detail what happened to him and what happened to Cornelius. And here's the first thing he said. I was in the city of Joppa, in verse 5, and I was praying. I was praying. That's the first thing he says about it. He said, I was praying. He was a praying man. It didn't matter where he was, whether he's in his country, whether he's in Jerusalem, whether he's in a city, whether he's on a rooftop. He was a praying man. He prayed. You all remember when he was going into the temple and when that lame man was healed. You know, in Acts chapter 3, he was on his way in to pray. They were going up to pray when they stopped and healed that lame man. So he was a praying man. And I tell you what, that's the first thing everybody ought to do. Oh, Lord, pray. You know, I'm a firm believer and praying. I do. But the first thing, the most best prayers for me is not asking God for things, but the first and foremost, you tell God how glorious he is, how blessed he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is, how good he's been, how gracious he's been. Tell him all the things that he's done for you and everybody you know, and all the, you start doing that, and then next thing you know, you don't even think about asking for anything. You've just given so much praise and honor to him for what he's already done. If he'd never done another thing, it'd be enough, wouldn't it? Oh, it'd be enough. Oh, my. And I tell you something else he did. He called on God in Christ. He called on God in Christ. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He called on God in Christ. And then next thing he told him about was a heavenly vision. And he said in verse 5, and I was in a trance, and I saw a vision. I saw a vision. And I told you that a certain vessel come down like a sheet, had four corners on it. And it come right, and he said, it come right down to where? Unto me. Come down even to me. Now, he was praying. I don't know if he's on his knees. I don't know if he's standing up. But he said, it come to me. Right in front of me. And he said, I looked at it. I looked on it. So this sheet come down. He said, I looked, and I saw a bunch of beasts. Four-footed, creeping things. Awful things. Horrible things. And he went on through that, and I tell you what, he had a heavenly vision. It was a revelation from God. And I tell you what he said, and what he said was to get him to go to Cornelius' house, he had to find out that what God cleansed, don't you dare call it common. Don't you dare to call it unclean. And I tell you, it's a revelation from God. It's his purpose for the Gentiles to hear the gospel. And let me tell you something. It's not men clean or unclean. You know, it's not that. You know how the only way in the world can be pure, a person be purified in this world is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that'll purify us. Huh? Nothing else will do it. Nothing else will do it. And see what's happening here is this idea that the Gentiles are going to hear the gospel, and they were upset about it. There's a transition. And you'll find this going through the book of Acts. And of course, it never ever takes place except for a very few. There's a transition. You're going from law. You're going from ceremonies. You're going from feast days and Sabbath days and holy days and certain ceremonies. You're going from that to grace. And it just, you know, we didn't come to grace just like that. No. And that's what has to do. There has to be a transition. They're going from law over to grace. They're going from ceremonies to Christ. They're going from rituals to what Christ accomplished. And it takes some time. These fellows had to be taught and taught and taught and taught. You're talking about somebody steeped in religion. Steeped in ceremonies. I heard a woman say one time, a Jewish woman, she said, listen, they asked her about the love of God. Do you ever consider the love of God? And I know about three or four Jews personally. And the first thing they'll tell you is God's love don't have nothing to do with anything. We don't even think about that. We're too busy keeping laws. We got so many ceremonies. We have to wash so many times. We have to be purified so many ways. We got, she said, 619 laws. That's almost like our government. If you give me 1619 laws to obey, I guarantee you I'm going to break a few of them because I don't know which one's which. But that's what they don't think about the love of God. They don't even think about it. Don't enter their mind. It doesn't. And so here, this thing about the Gentiles receiving the gospel, you know, it was hid for generations. Paul said this has been hid. It was hid. I don't know. They didn't see it. They didn't see it in Ruth. They didn't see it in Rahab. They did not see that God was going to save the Gentiles. This was something that they never did dream would ever happen. You know, and one of the things that Christ was going to do when he come, he'd be a light to the Gentiles. He said, ask of me the heathen, and I'll give them to you for your inheritance. Well, that's what we are. We're its inheritance. And so here they'd been hid from generations. But you know what? It took a vision. It took a vision from heaven to cause him to understand God's will. To understand God's will about going and preaching to a Gentile. He said, it's not lawful for me to do it. And I would not be here right now had I not had a vision. I would not have dare stepped in your house. I would not have dared to preach to you. I wouldn't have had anything to do with you except I had this vision. God had to prepare him. God had to prepare him. No longer purified by food, you know. People talk about food. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he told him, he said, you know, it's not that that goes into the mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of the heart. And I tell you what, he had to understand God's will. And I want you to see something with me in Deuteronomy 29. Talking about the will of God. Talking about the purpose of God. Talking about the things of God. Oh, they got upset, you know, because his disciples, he saw them eating with unwashing hands, and the Pharisees did. And they said, oh, why does your master eat with unwashed? Why do your children, why do your people and your disciples eat with unwashing hands? And everything, he said, listen. It's not what you eating is going to defile you. That's what he's telling me. It's not what you're eating that's going to defile you. It's what comes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. But look what he said here in Deuteronomy 29:29. Talking about he had this heavenly vision to prepare him to go preach to these Gentiles. And he's telling these Jews this, rehearsing what exactly took place. But look what it said here in verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. You know what secret things we're talking about? What holds tomorrow? Do you think 2 years ago, D would think he'd be as sick as he is? That was a secret thing. And as God has so many secret things that we don't know about ourselves, about the future, about what's going to happen in this world. God's got those things all. They're in it. That's his business. You know what my business is? To look to him, call on him, trust him, believe him, bow to him, adore him. And then look what he goes on to say. But those things that are revealed belong unto us. What he reveals in his blessed book, that belongs to us and to our children forever. Oh, my. So, you know, he's got secret things. You know, it's like James said. He says, say not, I'm going to go to such and such a place. I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell. And he said, don't say that. Don't say that. I'm going to go this here and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this other thing. He said, James said, don't say that. Don't say that. You say, whether God will, I'll go such and such a place. Whether God will, I'll do such and such a thing. Whether God will, I'll go to this place. I mean, listen, aren't you glad that God's will governs our lives no matter what it does in our lives? I find the most blessed comfort in that right there. I've went through some trials, and you have too, and you're going to go through some more. But ain't you grateful that God and his blessed will is what controls this world and my life and your life? Wouldn't you hate to be left to destiny? Wouldn't you hate to be left to fate? Wouldn't you hate to be left to just chance or luck? Oh, boy, somebody say, man, I've had the awfulest bad luck. Oh, I'm so thankful that the will of God. And that's what God had to do for Simon Peter. Simon, I'm going to have you go preach to some Gentiles. I'm going to have the door open for the Gentiles. I know they're filthy. I know they're wretched. I know they don't know nothing about God. I know they don't know nothing about Christ. I know they don't know nothing about your word. But you're going to go and preach to them. And what God had to do, and he has to do the same thing on Cornelius' side. He got to prepare Cornelius to listen to Simon Peter. Oh, my. Well, Then he gets this command. And this happened three times. Remember I told you everything happened to Simon Peter happened in threes? He denied the Lord three times. The Lord asked him three times, do you love me? And here he was. Had to have a vision three times. And guess what? Three men met him, waiting on him. And oh, look what happens in verse 12. And God's command, God's commission on account of this vision. And we're down in verse 11. And behold, immediately there were three men already come under the house where I was, sent from Syria. He was up on the rooftop praying. And there's three men downstairs waiting on him. And listen, I love this right here. And the Spirit bade me go. The Spirit bade me go. He said, I wasn't going to go, but the Spirit bade me go. Spirit bade me go. Go. Spirit bade me go. Oh, my. And that's what it meant. He'll guide you. Remember when Philip was down in Gaza? And there was a fellow way off, pretty good ways off in his chariot at Ethiopia. And the Spirit told Philip, said, Philip, run over there and join yourself to that chariot. He run over there and walked alongside that head. He was a pretty good ways off, and he had to go over there. And he preached to ask that man, do you understand what you read? No, I don't. That's the way these Gentiles was. They didn't understand. It's like us. What did we know? Had not God met us and told us and did something for us? So the Spirit bade me go. He'll guide you. And then I love this right here. What's said again in verse 12? Nothing doubting. Wouldn't you like to be that in your heart and in your mind? Nothing doubting. He went, no doubting. Nothing doubting about it. I don't doubt this. How could he doubt? He just had a vision. Three of them, one right after another. And the Spirit told him there were men at the door looking for him. And he went down there, and there they were. There they were. Oh, my. Go doubting nothing. And I tell you what, he went down there and there was three men waiting for him. And he says, nothing doubting. So now he's rehearsing this to these Jews now that was contending with him over him going eating in with Gentiles. And moreover, these six brethren, there were six men there with him. That would have been seven of them going down there, plus the three from Cornelius. And they went down there, and these six brethren are accompanying me, and we entered into the man's house. Oh, my. You know, the worldly wise, they don't understand God's ways. They don't understand God's ways. They're too busy trying to get folks to do something for Jesus instead of being concerned to what Christ's already done. But look what else he goes on to say now. And then Cornelius had to be prepared too. And he showed us how. Now, when he entered into the man's house, into Cornelius' house, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Oh, my. Taught me how everything that had happened there. And you know why that's so? Is because the soul's been prepared for the seed. Grace, as I said, goes before grace. Grace is preparing Cornelius' heart for the gospel, for the word. Now watch what happens now. He had to be prepared for the gospel of salvation by grace, salvation by Christ. He was already religious. Remember that? He was already religious. And then look what he said. And he said, when he sent for Peter, he said, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? He shall tell thee words. See, these folks received the word. He shall tell you words. Here's the thing, and I've told you this and tell you this. God works by his word. Always has and always will. Every Jew that's ever been converted, every soul that's ever been converted, they had to have the word. Huh? They had to have the word. That's why Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? Who's believed our preaching? Who has? Well, I'll tell you, somebody has. I have. I believed it. I believed it. And let me show you something in Acts 13. Go over here in 13, verse 48. And he said, he'll tell you words. 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 Words is what people use to communicate with one another. And the first words anybody wants their baby to say is daddy or mommy. That's the first word they want to hear. First words out of our mouth after God saved us said, oh, Father, my Father. Oh, God, my God. Oh, Lord, my Lord. No, we never stopped crying. But look what he said here in Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And listen to this. Glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published. How was it published? Preaching. Words. God uses words. Our Lord Jesus, one of the most blessed things you'll ever find in John 17, where our Lord's talking about us being given to him and how he prayed for us. He said, Father, he said, I have given them thy word. And they believed him. They believed him. And they believe that you sent me. And he said, and I pray not for the world, but for them which shall believe on me through what? Through their word. Huh? Through their word. And you know I could keep my mouth shut and stand here and not say a word. Not one of you would know what's going on in my mind. Not one of you would know what's going on in my mind. And I can look at you and I don't know what's going on in yours. So how in the world are we going to know what's going on in either of those minds? Words. How are we going to know what's going on with God and how God saves a sinner? How God blesses a soul? How God does something for somebody? Word, words. Words are vehicles of thought to communicate. You put them out there and you communicate with somebody. And I tell you, our Lord said, you know, after you heard, Paul talked about the Ephesians, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth, the word of truth. And he shall tell thee words, and listen to this, whereby you shall be saved. There's no salvation. He said, whereby you shall be saved. Wouldn't it be awful if you had to go someplace where they didn't even pack in a Bible and the preacher got up and preached out of a book of outlines that he bought somewhere, read out of them? Wouldn't that be awful? Especially used to the word. And oh, the word's nigh thee. That's what our Lord said. The word's nigh thee. It's even in your mouth. What is that word? The salvation's in Christ and Christ alone. There's the word, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the word that's nigh you. That's the word of salvation. That's where righteousness dwells, in him. And then look what happens now. Salvation's accomplished. Look what he says in verse 15 and 16. Look what he says. As I began to speak, as I began to preach, he said he began to preach. And you go back over in Acts 10, you remember this. And as he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. You remember what on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came on them and they all began speaking other tongues in a language that everybody there could hear them speaking their own language? Well, that same thing happened here while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost come down on them. We dealt with that Sunday. Holy Ghost came down on them. And the evidence and the proof of that God had given the Holy Ghost to them and baptized them into the Holy Ghost and put them in the body of Christ was this. They began to speak in another language. They were Romans. They spoke in Latin. Romans spoke in Latin. Jews spoke in Hebrew. So how's a person who knows nothing but Latin going to know, understand what a Jew's preaching and he's preaching in Hebrews? God. That's what you said you heard. Neither knowing the power of God. God can do that. Huh? And that's what he's doing. They heard him preaching. Heard him preaching. And oh, look what else he said. He felt just like he did on us. Then, listen to what he said. Remember thy the word of the Lord. He said, I remembered this when I was preaching this. And what happened? This is what I remember. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Huh? Oh my. The Holy Ghost came upon them, fell on them as he did us at the beginning. You know, the Lord Jesus baptized these Gentiles into his body. Now, here's the thing about it. He didn't say, let's circumcise them now and take them to the local synagogue. That's not what he said. Let's circumcise and then baptize them. No, no. Look what he says in verse 17. For as much then as God gave them, everything we get has to be given to us. God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? It was a gift. He did for them what he did for us. Souls, I'm telling you, beloved, souls cannot be saved without the Holy Ghost power, without his power, without him making Christ known to them. It's an impossibility. And then look what he says. He said, as he did us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. They believed. They were believers. They were saved. Peter preached the gospel unto him. God gave the Holy Ghost come down on them. Just like it did on them on the day of Pentecost. Now listen to what he answers their question. Why did you go in? They contended with him. Oh, goodness. And he has one question that silences them. And that's in verse 17. And what was I that I could withstand God? He said, what am I? What am I that I could withstand God? He said, God is sovereign. He works where he will, upon whom he will. I couldn't withstand him. Would you stand up against him? That's what he's saying to you. Would you fellas stand up against God if he told you to go to the Gentiles? He said, I went because he told me to, and I went with doubting nothing. He said, oh, listen, what was I going to do? I couldn't withstand God. And boy, they didn't have nothing else to say right there. In verse 18, and we'll be done. When they heard these things, what things? When he started talking about everything from the beginning. Where he had the vision, where Cornelius had the vision, and he brought down everything. They come right down there and told him exactly everything that happened. And when they heard these things, they held their peace. They didn't want to argue anymore. Didn't want to contend anymore. Didn't want to fuss and fight anymore. They held their peace. Got nothing else to say. And here's what they said. They held their peace and glorified God. That's the end of everything God doing in this world, is to bring glory to himself. They glorified God. The reason for all God does is to glorify himself and his Son. And when they had heard these things, the truth of what had happened, they held their peace. What can we say? It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. And then look what they said at the very last. They glorified God, saying, then God hath also to the Gentiles, listen to this, granted repentance unto life. He gave them a change of mind. We know what repentance is, change of mind. You go over to 1 Thessalonians, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he said, they turned from their idols to serve the living God. And that's what happened here. They turned from their idols to serve the living God. Boy, I'm glad that God turned to the Gentiles. Ain't you? Oh, I tell you, I'm so thankful. Our Father, our great and blessed God in heaven, how holy, how holy, how holy you are. How full of grace and mercy you are. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the attention of your dear people. Lord, bless the word to our hearts, to our understanding. Bless it to our faith. It's a blessed thing to hear the gospel and faith come with it, to hear the word and faith come with it, to see things we haven't seen, heard things that we see over and over again, but in a new place, in a new light. Oh, Lord, we thank you for it. God bless these dear saints. Bless those that are listening tonight. Keep them, preserve them, and bless them till we come to worship together again. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. For making me whole, thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. See you Sunday, God willing.